Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California.
In the fast lane again, it's the Fansmanship.com podcast. Luke Johnson.
Yes.
Andy Stevens.
Gyroscopic.
Word.
Word.
Gary Sisler.
Skyroscopic.
Skyscroscopic.
Okay.
Sour cream and chives.
Hey, it is again in February here. I think it's maybe podcast 86 or something like that. Who even knows? We've been doing this for a while. Get here. Today we're going to talk a little bit about college basketball. We're going to talk a little bit about the NBA, about my lose to win philosophy. But I want to tell you guys a little bit of a story about Cal Poly a couple weeks
about
ago.
About my win-to-win philosophy.
Yeah, so here's...
I'll take that one.
Here's the thing. Cal Poly a
is
couple weeks
Cal
ago...
Is that Cal Poly Pomona or Cal Poly San Luis Obispo?
There is Cal Poly, and then there's Cal Poly Pomona.
Oh, interesting. I never knew that.
Yeah.
I thought... Wait, so we aren't considered Cal Poly San Luis Obispo anymore?
Well, some people call it that, just to differentiate, but we are the Cal Poly.
Pomona doesn't even have an athletic program.
Pomona is Division II.
Pomona
has Division II basketball and
other things. It's a ghetto campus too. I've been there before.
Is it okay? Is it one of the five campuses that are all together, like Harvey Mudd?
And they try to be all snooty there too.
Right.
It's like really
snooty.
Yeah, Claremont,
just go to
Cal the Claremont College,
slow town, and you're going to learn what legit is.
so
snooty.
So a couple weeks ago, they had the blackout game against UC Irvine, and I just showed you guys the Chris Eversley dunk
jam
on Mamadou Njai, which
Mamadou
was
Njai.
At halftime they lost power,
which was nice. Yeah,
Mamadou.
The blackout was really fun though. It was full in my gym, and I really enjoy a full gym and the energy that goes along with it. It makes it fun to be there.
If Cal Poly,
and more fun to be there. Let me just kind of tell you guys a story here.
Can't finish.
So after the game, Cal Poly lost the game. Irvine's the top ranked team in the conference in all the polls before the season. They're really good. They're even without their 6'8 all-conference player in this game. So, Cal Poly maybe missed an opportunity. They played horrible offense. Joe Claire, after the game, was not happy about, his team offense. He said they need just a break. They haven't had their buy-in conference until right now, actually, last week, before they went to Hawaii. So, the post-game, when I was talking to one of the students that I know, he's a freshman this year. He went to Slo High, so he grew up around here. And I was talking to him, and he was kind of bitter about the game. He's like, the only reason kids went is to see a 7'6 guy. I said, because of the blackout? Well, kind of because of the blackout and kind of because ESPN 2, but also because
TV, right?
It was on ESPNU, but also because there was a 7'6 guy there. It's not because the team is necessarily great, was his response. And I said, he said, they got to get more recruits to, better players. And today's, last week was signing day for football. And so, that's definitely something that we know is that, recruiting is important. My point is, I asked him, I said, have you ever seen Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure?
And he's
a freshman in college this year. He's never seen Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, so I immediately felt old, of course.
Bogus.
Dude. But can you guys remember the scene in Bill and Ted's? Because we all watched it in history.
Sandemus.
In Mr. Leary's history class. We all watched it. And do you guys remember the scene where they're arguing about getting Eddie Van Halen to play with them? And they said, we'll never get Eddie Van Halen until we're awesome, but we'll never be awesome until we get Eddie Van Halen. But we'll never get Eddie Van Halen until we're awesome. It's this circular. It's this circular argument. Something has to break at some point. And so his point about the fans will never come more until they're better. Well, guess what? If you want to make it a fun time as a fan, you can make it a fun time and make it something that you do for fun to go to the basketball games and get crazy whether your team is good or not. And it makes a difference in a college basketball game.
Is that why the majority of fans go to a game, though? Or do they go to a game to watch their team be the best team?
They go to the game for the whole thing. I mean, I think you see the teams.
But I think college basketball isn't like the NBA. The NBA is, you go to a game, you want to sit in the big stadium and watch Kobe have a nice, alley-oop jam or something. College basketball is all about whether your team breeds success. I think so, man. I really think so.
So I'll put it this way. In soccer, for instance, there are fans who go to the soccer games, and they went to the soccer games when they weren't very good, and recruits came and saw the fan support, and they had a top 35 recruiting class last year in the country mm-hmm. in soccer. Okay. And so my point is that it only takes 1,200 students to fill up the student section in Mott Gym.
I agree.
Or Mott Athletic Center.
I agree.
How is that, you know, kind of not happening? And so I kind of was getting on his case that it's not going to happen as long as you have an attitude like that. This kid, he played basketball in the county. Like he played basketball in high school.
He was the stud of slow, right? What was his name? Okay. Sorry. Yeah.
Has anybody ever thought of the fact that it's just not going to happen until they stop playing in a freaking barn?
But how are they going to build?
Agree.
Here's the point.
Totally agree.
Here's the point that the athletic department makes and that boosters make. If they can't sell out Mott.
They're not okay, but
how are they going to sell out a bigger gym?
You have to market. You have to be more marketable. This is like common
sense.
This Twitter young kid generation are all about lights and flash.
Right.
You have to have a gym that makes them feel like, wow, we're legit.
Right. I agree.
You know,
but if
we're a yeehaw
right now,
school.
Right
let's
now,
let's go to the bar and watch the basketball game. It's like, no, let's progress.
Do you have 30 million to donate? If you
so
did,
schools have never went out in communities in areas the size of this and solicited and gotten money to be able to build something.
Let me make my point because it's a state school. Because it's a state school, it's not a UC.
I'm sorry.
Don't slip on that cow dung right there.
Welcome to Mott Gym.
You're a poly grad, Luke. Come on now.
I love Cal Poly, but I don't have so much pride in it that I can't joke about it. Come on.
Here's my point. It's that, and it's the point.
You can't joke about everything. You can't joke about anything.
All right. Oh. The wise man. The wise man says.
The wise man of comedy.
Wise ass of comedy.
Keep going.
No, I was going to say, like, not that much of a start, though, let's be honest. So the point is that if Mott Athletic Center, if the students said, we're going to sell out for 3 straight years, the timeline, because they're not going to get a new gym for at least probably 10 or 15 years the way things are right now. They're 10 or 15 years away. Okay, you guys don't want to let me finish what I'm saying.
This is a good conversation. That's a sad.
What they're doing? Let me tell you what they are doing. They're putting in video boards. They're working on refurbishing the current facility because they don't have the money to do it.
Maybe they shouldn't have built a really bitchin' gym, that gym where all the kids work out, and they should have put that money.
Do you know why? Do you know where that money for that gym came from?
Because I used to work out in that gym.
That gym came from student funds, and the court in that big gym is purposefully like a couple feet short. Because it was made just for students so that athletics wouldn't be able to use it purposefully. When the students voted to pay extra fees for that gym.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. They voted for that, and there was a stipulation in there that athletics could not use it. Cannot use it.
No, but why even offer the vote and not gear the vote towards
athletics? Because then students won't vote for it.
Why?
Because they'll be not let in when athletics is practicing and so on. There's a big
I'm
there
not
was
saying
a big
for
back
that
then,
building. I'm saying for the money to go towards the gym.
The money comes from student fees. Students voted to have those student fees, to pay those student fees.
But at some point, somebody had to like have a proposition base.
A proposition base?
Yeah, meaning that, like, you're saying that students just voted to have that gym be that gym. There was money there.
No, before the gym was built.
And they funded it. That's
and
the point
they funded
I'm trying
it
to make.
Through,
but somebody,
through student fees.
And somebody proposed it through student fees.
Right. So
originally, it said, hey, we're going to up the student fees. Right. It's going to go towards this thing. Are you cool with it?
The rec center.
The point I'm trying to make is somebody could have said, hey, we're going to up student fees. We want to build a better gym for the sports. That's the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah, they could have.
Or
and then
any
it,
other
it would have
go.
Gotten.
That's
at,
just one
at
idea.
The time, it would have got. At the time, it for sure would have got shot down. That was one of the big things that they were making sure that the money for both of those things, for athletics versus students, was a separate thing. And it was a wrong decision, I think. I agree with you that it was a wrong decision. I'm just explaining it to you. Why it was the case. And so athletics is left with Mott now. And Mott's a fun gym to be in when it's full. And it was a fun time. But you guys were just kind of talking to me a little bit about the...
So how many fans can watch a game there?
A little over 3,000, like 3,100.
How many students go full-time to Cal Poly?
16,000 maybe?
16. Okay, so that's imagine... It? Okay, but still...
16, 20,000.
Oh, okay, but that's great.
One out of 16 kids needs to be there.
No, no, no. Imagine having a place where 10,000 kids could go.
Yeah. Yeah. The new gym that Cal Poly builds, just to kind of give you some context, okay, will probably have, if and when they build one, it'll probably have somewhere around, like, say, 5,000 seats. In the Big West, in the conference that they're in, having a 10,000, I mean, okay, there's 50,000 people in SLO. So,
how many people attend Duke University? How many people are there in Durham, North Carolina?
Probably a couple hundred thousand, maybe 100,000.
No.
In Raleigh, Durham?
No.
Yeah.
Nah.
Isn't that where it is, Durham?
150,000. And probably the school has about 40,000, if I had to guess.
Okay, really? There you go. Okay, well, so it's bigger.
And there, actually, Duke's actually a private school.
Duke's a private school.
Duke probably has about 10 to 15,000.
How smaller schools?
I was thinking of UNC. Yeah. UNC probably has.
And smaller schools do it because what's the word? There's some history there, right? There's some tradition. Yeah. And so Cal Poly started their Division I play in the 90s, right? You got to remember that. And so I think Calero is the closest thing they've had to a coach that wants to start tradition. He's reached out and worked with, like, alumni and stuff like that, alumni, like basketball alumni, to bring them in. He brings a different team in every year, like to be connected. And so as close as anything, as anybody's been, Joe has. I want to talk about college hoops in general too, Luke. And
One last question on this. Yeah. Does Cal Poly have like a T. Boone Pickens or like?
No, if I win the lottery, I'm going to be.
So they don't have any rich alumni. That
no,
really
I mean,
to
there's not
a
T. Boone. T. Boone's insane. You know?
There's nobody who's an alumni from the past who seriously,
a big fish.
Knowing this area and how much money's in this area, there's nobody who seriously would give.
Well,
$1 million.
Let's think about
bucks.
It. Let's think about it. They built a batting cage that cost like $1.5 million this past year for baseball.
Really?
Yeah. It's an amazing facility. Kids can hit there if it's like snowing outside. It's incredible.
I'm really into baseball, but that seems a little misused.
Check it out next time you go to a game this year.
But that's the same thing.
But that was let me finish. That was donated.
Taking the next step.
That was donated.
Yes, I would agree. You're right.
Right there.
But that was donated
so they deserve that. You're
by
right.
former
you
know, by guys who are former players.
There
was money that were part of that by like former players and like Robin Ventura, but I'm not sure. Guys who are local. So they did get a lot of big donations for that facility from big fish who are in like. You know,
okay.
Who are so, around. Yeah. So,
and you're right. The baseball team
so
is
like,
taken
what
serious.
Horace Grant. Hey, Horace Grant and Aurora Grande.
You never
wanna,
know.
You
want to
throw $1 million in
I want to get Horace on the podcast, actually. I haven't met
but
him
but
yet.
Horace Grant Courts.
Yeah. He might be into that, you know?
Yeah. $30 million is a lot, though.
No, but okay, but he might give you the majority
Does
of it.
Does it have
you know?
To be $30 million, though? Can it be just something that's better than Mont Gym that's. The next
what
season.
I would love to see.
Million.
So, you know, so you guys haven't traveled with me the last
how
couple
much
years.
How much would it cost to rebuild Mott Gym the way it is today? Let's ask that. This is an appraisal thing, Mr. Appraiser.
Oh, you're the appraiser.
How much does it cost to rebuild something the way it sits?
If you're going to rebuild Mott Gym exactly how it was,
yeah, absolutely.
Oh man,
it's pretty minute.
Without a scoreboard, without like a video board, without any of that.
The way it sits,
Mott
right
Athletic
now.
Center. God.
5 million?
Yeah,
6 million?
No, I'd say like probably 8 or 10.
8?
How much was the PAC?
What?
How much was the Performing Arts Center?
It, which is a much Appraiser more
man.
Which is a
I
much more
know.
Beautiful
right.
building.
Right. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but I've been told somewhere between like, you know, maybe 25 to 50 million is kind of a good number to think about.
To for, sit 5,000 kids?
Well, but here's the thing, Luke. You're the one who talked about lights and glitz and stuff like
yeah.
that. If you're going to build something and you're going to spend 20... to make a crappy stadium, you may as well spend 30, you know, wait a couple
no,
years,
but 20
spend 30.
Be
it's got to last, you know,
is
another
30
50
that
years.
Much better than 20,
but I think what
question.
Andy's trying to say is that we're not having this such a high expectation that like the gym has to be
that's ridiculous.
No. Okay.
You don't have it. You don't have an expectation. Go ahead.
You don't have to have such a high expectation.
It's just Mott Gym is so
yeah,
in
just something better than
Mott
Gym. Just give me something better than
Mott
Gym.
It's probably the oldest facility in the conference.
It, yeah. Honestly,
yes.
it feels like it
yes,
feels
it
like
is.
No,
absolutely.
It's
definitely not the smallest.
Well, let's not be that.
The Matadome holds like under 1,000.
Honestly, I'm not trying to be funny, but it reminds me of warming up when I played for Coast Union. I swear, every time I'm there,
the top shape,
just the feeling of it. It's like I'm at a high school game.
Yeah, a lot of people say that.
That's just the vibe.
Have you ever been to a sold out game there? Yeah,
maybe one.
Yeah. So my point is, it got as loud as any gym I've heard. And you guys haven't traveled with me the last couple
like
of years.
Mission Stadium, Mission Prep Stadium, maybe as good.
Oh come on,
I'm just
come
saying.
On. It you guys haven't traveled with me the last couple of years, but I've been to St. Mary's and I've been to Stanford, and I think both of those gyms are pretty cool. Stanford probably only holds about maybe 8 to 12,000 maybe, right. And it's super steep and super old, right. And it's got concrete and stuff, but it's super steep to get up, and so everybody's right on top of everything.
Like St. Mary's, the steep is cool too.
St. Mary's is a bandbox as well, I think when you build a new stadium, you have to make it ADA compliant, and there's rules about that.
Very high school.
Like, have you ever been to St. Mary's? How cool is that gym? I mean, that's a gym with like crazy, like old school, but like then viewpoints.
Let's look at places like San Luis High, Arroyo Grande, Morro Bay High School. How many people can sit in Morro Bay? There's two big sides.
Like 1,500?
Yeah. So
about half?
That's the point.
Right. Morro Bay High School's 1,500. Like Slow Cal High.
Slow 3,000. Yeah.
It's Cal Poly State University. It's not Cal Poly High School.
And sure. To be fair to Cal Poly State University, academically, they're being compared to a UC. So this is a serious school. This isn't like just some crappy state school.
Yeah. So my point is, Andy, and Luke, you know, I think when people work to, you know, in the community, and this is the issue that I have, I think. If you're a sports fan and you're in the community, it behooves you for Cal Poly to be good. And I know that you're trying to talk about Cal Poly needing to be excellent and you know, hey, it's not good enough, so on and so
just
forth.
Better.
But
just that's
but when you better. But when
newer.
Okay. All right. So in order to make it newer, is sitting there and saying this needs to be better, this sucks, this needs to be newer, this sucks.
Sure.
Is that, I mean, I'm all about, I mean, and maybe I'm kind of oversimplifying it, but that's not helpful. Like, what's helpful? And I hear that from a lot of fans and people in the community. And,
well, that's
a
different,
and it's a non-helpful.
But it's the answer. It's the answer.
But it's the answer because you want, because you could have a different answer if you wanted to. You could be part, I mean, I hate to say it, but you could be part of the solution. You could go to games, and I wrote about part of this.
This is a good conversation.
You could go to games, and you could get loud and rowdy, and you could, I mean, in a stadium that small, you could bring five friends and make it what you wanted to make it.
Okay, hold on, but listen, you're 18 or 19 years old.
Uh-huh.
You're competing with the Slow Life. Yeah. I think I wrote about this one time. With the beautiful Slow Life,
uh-huh.
There's a lot of beautiful people in San Luis Obispo. I think one time I ranked number 3, like in the western side of the states, as far as just beautiful girls and boys.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you have all that going on. You have pint night.
Uh-huh.
You have parties.
Uh-huh.
You have studies.
Uh-huh.
I mean, a million things to do in San Luis Obispo. You have the great. You have great surf.
I don't know about a million things to do, but yeah, okay.
No, I'm saying,
like a Thursday night or a Saturday
like
night
LA
for an hour and a half.
The point I'm no. You don't have the glitz of LA, but I'm saying you have the kids come here and they love. They want to hike. They want to surf. They want to hook up with hot people and they want to drink. Okay, tell me, you're saying that these kids should somehow come to the game.
I'm saying that it's fun to go to a game, and it's an atmosphere that's created if you want to be.
How is Cal Poly going to be responsible, the university, in portraying it's fun if you're the 18 or 19-year-old kid to come to the Cal Poly game instead of going to Pint Night?
There you go.
It's an excellent question. I don't think it's an instead of. Here, you know, I think when you're talking about an hour and a half out of – or 2 hours out of a Friday – out of either a Saturday night or a Thursday night, you talk about 2 hours, 7 to 9 – you're telling me parties start before 9? Not really.
Okay, but you got to think of it as like a 19-year-old. Okay, so let's ask the question. So why not – what's going to make them go to the Cal Poly game, then go to their Pint Night afterwards instead of just going to Pint
Night? Make a night out of it, baby.
You know?
Yeah, you gotta want it.
What does that mean, though?
I think it comes down to, do you want to be a fan or do you want to be somebody who sits away from it and
18 or 19
and with all due respect and with all due respect, I mean, you guys haven't been to any games this year, so
no,
like with all due respect, no, I mean, and I'm not and I'm not saying that you have to. I'm just saying
missing the point. You're speaking to men in their 30s who are mature enough to hear that. I'm talking about an 18 or 19 year old who's not going to understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
They're not going to get it. You're going to go, you got to get there. You got to want it. You got to get pumped.
It worked for the soccer team. It worked for the soccer program.
And they're going to go, dude, I'm pumped on drinking a bunch of beer tonight.
It worked for the soccer program.
I'm pumped on meeting a hot chick downtown.
Yeah.
I'm pumped on going to hit the surf. Surf is good in Shell Beach.
If it worked for soccer,
why wouldn't I go watch basketball?
Soccer has games during the day when surfing is a conflict. And they have fans that come. They've upped their well,
they've done something
their attendance.
They've somehow.
Let's ask this question.
So why not?
Let's ask this question.
So why not?
So market it correctly.
As popular as it is now before Spanos was renovated.
When was Spanos renovated?
I don't know.
It wasn't as popular as it was now, and it didn't have to do with Spanos, actually. It had to do with Hollaher coming in and Hollaher changing the culture along with some students. So he went to a student fan group, basically.
So
like
the newer venue,
a soccer hooligan.
Helps.
No, there were like 4 years in between the time that they had the new venue already, mm-hmm. and they still got like, you know, 700 fans in a game. And then Holler came and it went up. It's like in the 25 or 3,000s per game for soccer. Okay, and that's not just community coming. That's fans. That's the UCSB game where they pack 1150 in. That's a Riverside game that I went to where there were 6,000. The Irvine game early in the year, I think this year. I've been Irvine. I don't know who it was. The first conference game this year when students got back, there were like 7 or 8,000 as well.
Wow.
So they have a student. They have an organized student group.
And the soccer team's pretty good, right?
They are now. They weren't then, and people
but they
came.
Are, but
it's the going back to it. It's the Eddie Van Halen or who was Eddie
no,
Van Halen?
No, no, no. Who are the people who came? Are
the
they
chicken or the egg?
Yeah, the chicken or the egg. What do you want? What do you want
winning
first?
Or fans?
And so the point I'm trying to make is like I get what you're saying, and I kind of agree.
Right.
How do you get the 18 and 19 year olds to come to the basketball games? This is practical.
You make it an event that they want to go to.
Like, okay, go. Give me a few things. Like, what would push the kids to come to the game?
I think something like having the game on ESPN was good. I think the blackout was something.
Okay, but really, realistically speaking, can Cal Poly get 5 or 6 ESPN games a year?
No, but they have
one game's not going to push the kids to want to come.
Right, but they can do things. But they can do things for fans like the blackout. I think that's something that they need to capitalize on.
Were they handing out T-shirts on the schools?
They were handing out.
You can just hang out pacifiers and glow sticks.
Speaking of rave night, Andy, they were handing out like sticks that like lit up. Okay, thunder sticks that lit up. They had batteries in them, and people were waving them all over the place.
Pre-game, yeah. There was like days before, and they're giving the kids shirts and these things and saying, "Man, come to the game."
They were advertising this game as much as any game that they've advertised, the marketing department. And I think the marketing department, to your point...
Maybe we're actually hitting harder the marketing department more than the actual team itself.
I think you're starting to get somewhere now, Luke, because when you talk about the marketing of a particular game...
No offense to the marketing director, but
I've written about it, and I was critical a couple games ago.
Hey, here at Cal Poly, we're going to hand out some Cal Patties. Here at Cal Poly, if you find...
Straw hats, get it right.
You guys are ridiculous.
If you find a Cal Patty hidden somewhere under the bushes on any Cal Poly part of campus,
you
get it for free.
If your goal as an alum was to like in any way change the misperception of how Cal Poly is, and if any like recruit actually listens to what we do, like and reads like UCSB blogs, they're gonna be like, that place sucks because you do that. And I know you're being funny, but like it does make a difference at some level.
They know
that
we're joking. They know
that
we're getting it.
But what I'm saying, I think you're on the right track.
You want to come to Cal Poly, and you don't want to come to Cal Poly because I'm making a joke. I'm making a joke about the honkies with Cal Patties. You don't want to come to Cal Poly?
Yeah.
Then you know what? Good for you. Take your talents to UC Davis. I don't care.
Percentage of the students.
Like Cameron Walker, you need to go to Cal Poly.
There's more engineers than ag. There's more engineers than ag. So here's what I'll say. I was going to say the marketing department because I've written about it.
Uh-huh.
And I've written about the stuff they do
Cameron
in the middle
Walker,
of the games.
You need to come to Cal Poly San Luis Obispo.
It is about the players. I will agree with that. That's a big deal.
But I'm making a shout out. Cameron Walker, you need to come to San Luis Obispo. Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, you will be a star. Come to Cal Poly San Luis Obispo.
Okay. I don't know if that... I don't think we broke any recruiting rules there.
How would we break any recruiting rules?
Because we're not part of the team,
we're not part
so
of
that
it.
Makes sense.
We can say whatever we want.
Okay. So here's what I'm saying, Luke. And every time I start saying something, you start saying something.
I'll say it real quick. I want a shout out.
Okay.
And the kid for mission.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. If you had two... I will say this.
Mission.
To your point.
The point card.
Adlesh. And so, yes. To your point, if there were two... If there were two local stars who played for Cal Poly who were very good, I think you would start to garner the community.
Yes.
I think that would be a big so I think if you had like a pair of local stars who like won like two or three Big West championships, who went to the tournament, who were like the first guys to get Cal Poly to the tournament, I think you could really capitalize on that.
Then
and it could be like
kids would want to
so
play
a new
basketball
gym,
come up and want to be like
boom.
Those guys.
So a new gym could be like
high school
so that
would become better.
So we're actually agreeing in a weird
listen
way.
Listen though, if you get offered by Cal Poly or Florida or UCLA.
Yeah, if you want to go to Florida and be a 10th man
play
or
in
come
the SEC,
to Cal Poly.
No, he might not be a 10th man.
If you want to go to – I'm saying for the most part, probably the probable percentage chance is you're going to be a 10th or 11th man on Florida.
Right. So I've wrote about
– or come to Cal Poly and average 20 a game, be a stud.
I've written about the in-game stuff.
Just saying.
I've written about this stuff as far as
– Cameron Walker come to Cal Poly.
Oh, my God. Every time I start to
talk. I love you guys. This is good.
Amazing podcast.
I've written about Cameron Walker.
I just want to make a point, and that is that I agree with you. The marketing is the thing that we probably need to be more focused on. It's something that Calero has been more focused on than I think Bromley and Schneider ever were. And I think that it's something that when you talk about like a department as a whole, I think it's something that's a fair thing to examine a little bit more closely and be a little bit more critical of recently. I wrote an article this month or last month in January about being at a couple of football games when they're putting on random decontextualized pictures on the scoreboard. That is like an inside joke to the people in the press box, but nobody in the crowd knows or cares. There's audio from the radio getting like pumped out of the speakers by accident. So you hear like Tom Barquette during a football game. There's stuff like that with the game operations that make a big difference about the game experience too. Mm-hmm. And so like the games that they do, there are some that are really cool. There was a football player riding a tricycle that was like a foot and a half high down and back the other day, and he literally broke the tire of the tricycle. Sorry, we had a little technical difficulty there. The story I was saying is that a football player like literally broke the tire of the mini tricycle that he was riding up and down. And it's, you know, there's stuff like that that's really funny. They had the bungee cord thing, and like literally the bungee cord broke when the two football players were like running towards the hoop, you know, with the bungee cord attached to both of them. There are fun stuff that you can do during the game that really do make a difference. There's stuff that you can do pregame in terms of getting kids there. It's a lot of work, but I think in order for Cal Poly to get a new arena faster, I think winning does make a difference, to your guys' point. And in order to win more, I think that the fans in a sport like college basketball, having fans there can make a difference.
But
having
fans there
can make a difference.
Just like I said, the question.
Just like I said, you market it better.
How? But what do you mean by market it better?
When Calero got there, I think they were averaging like 1,200 fans a game in the year before he was there. They're up to like 2,500 now. As far as averaging, somewhere in there, and I don't know the exact numbers.
So winning has doubled it.
Sure, okay.
We want to double
winning a little bit more has doubled it. Like
they're winning a lot more.
Okay, a lot more, but not being dominant. I mean, they won like 12 out of 13.
I'm just trying to be fair to like an 18 or 19 year old kid.
Okay,
because I was older when I went to Cal Poly. I was in my like mid 20s.
So your question. Let me just be
and
quick.
And even then. Uh-huh. Me being a big time sport fan,
right?
I probably went with my wife to be. She was my girlfriend. Then we probably went to two college basketball games the entirety of my Cal Poly career.
Yeah, yeah. So are you going to blame somebody else for that? You being a basketball fan,
no,
is it somebody
I'm
else's fault that you went?
No,
that you didn't go enough.
The point that I'm making is that I am
it's
a fan.
It's not up to the person to just go. You have to make it interesting enough to get their $10 to go to the game. It's not like on him. It's on them to get him to go.
I understand you have to leave Cayucas to go to the game.
Entertainment?
But,
you understand the entertainment side of it?
Yes.
Why do I need to go there? What is compelling me to go to this?
Do you enjoy athletic contests? Do you enjoy sports? Do you enjoy sports?
Yes.
Okay.
But that's not compelling enough of a sport for me to go and see that. It's not.
Compelling
enough.
How many games have you guys been to?
That's the reason why, Owen.
If you go
over my life, a lot, actually.
If you go to five games in a season, I'll guarantee you start to get to know players and things, and things start to be a little bit more interesting when you go see more games. I can tell you the most
I went was probably.
I don't agree with that.
I don't agree either. But the most I went was probably like in 2000 when Chris Bjorklund was going off.
Uh-huh.
But that guy was a scoring machine. It was a little different, you know. And I probably
how good was that team?
Not good.
Not good.
But the point is they were exciting. So, mm-hmm. you know, that's the trade-off. It's like...
So you I agree. You have to be either exciting or good. And last year...
The Waz was going off and Bjorklund were going off.
And last year they were very good.
They played together, right? The Waz and Bjorklund.
Maybe like one year.
The Waz was like a senior and he was a freshman.
Something like that. Maybe. Yeah. Or maybe
but they were both
the
just
after.
Balling, you know?
Yeah.
So
let me say this, though. If your point, again, I mean, if your point is that... that you have to either be entertaining or good. The last 2 years, they've been pretty good. They were 13-1 at home over the course of last year and the beginning of this year. They were 13-1 streak at home. What more do you want than a 13-1 streak at home?
They won all their
Big West home games last year.
I'm going to make it clear to not lose to UC Davis.
Why was it not a sellout at UC Davis? They were 13-1 at home before the UC Davis game.
To not have me listen to a team that goes scoreless for seven minutes or whatever.
Yeah. It's an issue. I agree.
Like, You lost to UC Davis.
Yeah. They lost to him last
year,
too.
That's more offensive to UC Davis.
And they lost to him last year, too.
Let's just think of this for a second. 13-1, won all their home games. Why was the UC Davis game not sold out? Okay. You would think, obviously, it should be. It's they're getting better. They're on a big winning streak.
Yeah.
It's a small gym. It should be sold out. So is that the students' fault, or is it the people that
or the community's fault
that need
right?
to promote the game and promote the team more?
I think it's both. I think it's a combination, and I think it's
but it's
the
not
best,
on the student. It's not the student's job to go
yeah,
to the
you
game.
You don't want
to
blame
the
students.
It's the job
so.
Of the person that promotes
blaming
the
students
game to get
isn't
going to
get you
go.
Anywhere, dude.
It's not the students' job.
Blaming the students
the
is not going to get
One
you
guy
anywhere.
Has a job.
I promise.
Get people to go to the game. Students have
let,
many things.
Let me put those two things together. I think the best way that you can do it is just like soccer did, is to get a group of students
yeah.
to organize to get people to go to the game. A group of students is going to be a lot more successful
sure, that's
one way. In there that. And the Mustang Manglers
That'd
for the soccer
start.
Team. And I wrote about that in my article, and that was kind of where I was going
so
about
what are they waiting for?
Eight or 12 minutes ago. It's kind of where I was trying to
it's
get
not rocket
to
science.
Eventually before Luke's.
Cameron Walker, come to Cal Poly San Luis Obispo.
Luke, you're ridiculous.
I'm giving a shout out to Cameron Walker
he's
to come to Cal Poly San Luis Obispo.
Cal Poly, yeah, San Luis Obispo, as opposed to Pomona.
You don't want a local kid to come to Cal Poly?
I think that would be like the thing that put over
so
the top.
So give him a shout out. Please, come to Cal Poly. We need you.
Who is this kid?
Calero needs you.
He plays at Rigetti.
I think Coach Calero would agree.
He's,
he needs you.
He's got offers from UCLA and Florida.
Okay.
And among others, like Pac-12 and SEC and ACC. So
and Quentin.
And Adlish only has an offer from Cal Poly right now.
That's
so I
great.
Think,
fantastic.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Not for him, maybe, but...
he's pumped, maybe.
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm pumped. You know, that would be a cool thing, too. The site verbalcommits.com is one that I was showing Luke the other day, and it's a really fun one to look at. Cal Poly's also offered
so
a couple of JUCO players.
You got a kid
players.
Like Royer. Okay, so you have sure. Royer from Los Osos. Uh-huh. So if you...
He walked on. He didn't play his first 2 years. Didn't play his first 2 years. Only earned a scholarship in his senior year.
Okay.
I loved
his first year he redshirted.
The idea of more local kids.
He walked on with Bromley, and Bromley I don't think was a huge fan of Dylan. He was smallish. He dominated the high school scene
right.
here, but he was, 6 feet and not very quick.
He didn't have
and he could shoot. That's
you
all
mean,
he could do.
You mean he sounds like JJ Redick? Not very big and not very quick.
Redick's
so
like
Bromley
6'4".
Was an idiot.
Redick's like 6'4".
Serious. Yeah. A 6 foot slow kid can do well in college basketball.
What mm-hmm. I'm trying to say is you go and get these guys from,
I think Royer was
Moorhead,
good for
Minnesota or, wherever.
Moorhead, Minnesota. It's true.
How are you going to get them?
Farm,
how are you going to get them on the farm?
Kids.
And while we're on the Big Lebowski subject, RIP to Philip Seymour, man. Yes, yes.
Yes, yes.
Brant can't watch there. He has to pay $100.
We've had some terrible news. So you get these kids from where, I don't even know they go into Texas or wherever
yeah, Texas.
They recruit these kids
they recruited kids from Texas
are
and from
be,
Minnesota
LA.
Is pretty popular.
Are you
hey, David
be
Hansen.
That much
Joel
better Abich. With these kids? I mean, is there any way you're going to be, more of a failure if you recruit more
yes.
locally? Is it
yes.
just, are they just not
the
good Sandals, enough?
So there's only like one
there's
kid.
Just not good enough
the
talent?
Last, is the that, last like... 5 years, like Derek Jasper was the first kid in a long time to go anywhere from this county. I mean, like Gary Gilman played a year at Hawaii.
And Tyrone Armstrong, who actually played in this team.
Ray Robbins played at Princeton.
But I mean regionally more so.
Like Santa Barbara-ish.
Yeah, come
LA.
On. Sorry. There's got to be some ballers.
Bakersfield.
The concentration
Bakersfield,
of people.
There might be a
Jose.
Lot of kids.
Yeah. The football team recruits a lot from
Bakersfield. I'm thinking the San Joaquin Valley. That's where
Minnesota,
it's at.
Minnesota, Washington. Yeah. It's kind of boring.
Yeah, we don't need any more kids
boring.
From Minnesota.
It's boring.
No offense.
Bunch of kids
you ever watch Joel
Alwich
get up?
I love Joel Alwich.
He gets up. I mean, so here's the thing about being a mid-major, Andy, yeah. and to answer your question,
uh-huh.
if you have a kid like Robbie Berwick from Atascadero, who is local, who gets offered by Florida State, where do you think he's going? He's going to play in the ACC.
Sure.
That I mean, you get a chance. Okay, Cal Poly, or I
so
could play in
no
the ACC.
So there's no kid that's just not quite as good as Robbie Berwick around here?
I don't know. Quentin might be that. I think, eventually. And so, that's
does
why I have kind
to
of...
be the best kid?
I really feel like Robbie Berwick would be a much bigger star at Cal Poly.
I agree. And I think probably if I'm Calero and you saw the football team last week get a few kids who are transfers from 4 year schools
yeah.
maybe they change coaches or whatever
mm-hmm.
this is a strategy that I think works out for getting David Nwaba who's a crazy athlete athletically he's a Pac-12 athlete right he's dunking on people like it's like he's a next level kind of an athlete, driving to the basket, playing defense.
He's
doing what he does.
For a couple of years, huh?
He's a sophomore this year, and he's the second leading scorer. Yeah, he's going to be very good, especially if he can improve his jumper. But the point is that he was recruited, I think, by Cal Poly out of high school, but went to Hawaii Pacific or somewhere, and then he went to a JUCO, and eventually he made his way back to Cal Poly. And I think that's something that maybe you can think of. You know, if Berwick goes to Florida State and doesn't like it, you don't think Joe Calero would let him transfer in? Of course he would.
Yeah.
Of course he would. And, you know, the same goes for Walker. If he goes somewhere and doesn't end up liking it, of course coaches leave that open. They say, hey, cool. You know, it was really good getting to know you. They get to know guys on the recruiting trail. And if you can come back, that's great too. So,
but
you know,
it's just kind of a bummer.
Well, the only reason I bring it up is because,
yes, there would be a big drop off.
Cal Poly is such a local type of thing.
Totally. It's a local feel.
So
nobody from outside of Cal Poly knows
into
about
that.
It.
That's how you build a bigger fan base, right, is by trying to keep it as local as possible.
Right. Yeah.
Not going to Minnesota, not going to Timbuktu to get these players.
If you were in Northridge or Long Beach, you could say that, I think, easier because just the concentration of good players is in LA.
Yeah.
The concentration of good players is in the Bay Area and Sacramento.
I want to see a roster that says California, Nevada, California.
The vast majority are from California. You know, there are two players.
But Paso has some studs. They have some studs every year. Paso Robles High.
There are two players on Cal Poly's roster who are from Texas, Jamal Johnson and Taylor Sutliff. Oh, and Ridd Shipley. So three from Texas and one from Minnesota. That would be Joel Awich. There's one from Seattle. Zach Gordon's from Seattle because Joe Calero has recruiting roots in Seattle.
Right.
Brian Bennett's from Chicago. There are a number of guys from other places. I also think that's cool. It's the way that you're going to get a Brian Bennett to play at a small school like Cal Poly is to take him to the beach when he gets here. Him to Avila.
Was Bennett like a big time stud?
Bennett was
maybe
50 pounds more in his junior year of high school than he is now. Calero said, "I'll give you a scholarship, but you got to lose weight."
But was Bennett like a big time recruit?
He was too big to be moving very well.
He was too large.
He was 6'9", like almost 300. And so he lost like 50 pounds.
I mean, so he was being like recruited by some of the guys.
Maybe, but he was 290. And so he wasn't being recruited by based on his skill level. He was a definite sleeper.
Probably
Calero says, "I'll offer you a scholarship right now. Here's a plan for losing weight. See you in a year.
Lose
50 pounds." And he did, man. That's the kind of thing that you have to do when you're at Cal Poly. You have to get guys like that who are bodies like
but
that and skill like
California.
That.
It's California. You know, it's like, hey, there's a lot of
and
schools
there's,
out
and
there.
There's San Diego State. And there's,
it's huge.
And there's Long Beach and Northridge and
why
Fullerton.
Why in a school in California
and
would
UCLA.
You have to go to other states? Does it make any sense?
Because all maybe all the good players either you have to have academic standards along with it. So maybe a kid who gets really
that's
good
true.
Grades who lives in Texas is a sleeper for Texas schools. There's not a lot of mid-majors maybe in Texas. But there are in California. There's only so many mid-major conferences. And so you go to places that don't have a lot of mid-major teams. Minnesota is a place without a lot of mid-majors. Washington only has like Seattle U and like maybe Eastern Washington, right? So there's not a ton of those mid-majors in those other areas. Mid-majors are concentrated
so
in California.
The best kids go to the University of, and then you have all these leftovers.
The best kids go to like the Pac-12,
yeah,
right?
Okay.
USC, Oregon,
well, let's
Arizona.
Just say, for instance, the state of Washington. So the best kids go to UW or Washington State or Gonzaga. And then the rest, there's nowhere for them to go. That's where teams like Cal Poly.
Yeah, Portland State then kind of tries to poach too. But Cal Poly is maybe a better destination. Where would you rather go to school? I mean, when you talk about mid-majors, Cal Poly as a destination for somebody who's not from California, they come and they see Avila Beach and Pismo, and they go, dude, this is it. They tweet their friends. I see tweets from Brian Bennett to his friends in Chicago, or Ridd Shipley to his friends in Texas, that say like, you know, I'm at the beach today at 72 when, you know, the frozen rain is hitting Texas. And of course that's a big deal.
Let's do this last thing and then close it up.
Yeah.
David Stern is retiring, but I'll just do his,
Thank
I'll try
God.
To do his voice. With the first pick in the 2014 NBA draft, the Los Angeles
Lakers
select Owen.
Pastrami sandwich from Kansas Deli with
a
dill pickle on the side.
I think I'm stoked that David Stern's gone, number one. Just let me get that out there. I'm not a huge fan of the guy. I think that he's probably done some good things. He's probably had to make a lot of tough decisions, and his job hasn't been easy.
The only reason anyone knows David Stern's name, is because of Magic Johnson and Larry Bird.
And Larry Bird and Michael Jordan eventually too. Yeah, and people, you know, say, oh, that was the heyday of the NBA. I don't know that Stern did a ton except allow the game to grow overseas, which was a big deal.
That was great.
So what I'll say about the Lakers and about this draft is if they somehow win the lottery, which it looks like they're headed for, there's only three teams with less losses or less wins than them right now in the NBA. If they do win the lottery, I don't think there's a LeBron James, but I think there might be like a Russell Westbrook kind of player. I think they're, you know, as far as impact level, like a James Harden maybe. I don't think there's like a top five guy in the league impact level, but I think there's maybe three or four, five guys who are going to be somewhere between like the 5 and 20th best in the league at a given season.
Okay.
I think there may be like three or four or five guys like that.
I think Wiggins might be a star.
I think Wiggins and Parker are the two you got to look at. And I think neither one of those guys have like crazy explosion, but both of them are 18 or 19 right now. So I think, you know, the guy who went to Duke, you got to think is going to be mentally there in a league like the NBA and be able to play defense. Wiggins, I've seen a couple times too. He's incredible. There's another kid on Kansas who's tall, I think. The center.
That's the one that they're saying he's might be the number one overall pick.
Yeah, but I think he's a mistake. I don't think I want the Lakers.
Really?
I think I'd rather see the Lakers with
a
guy.
I've watched a lot of him this year. He's good,
he seems
man.
Like he could be kind
There's
of
a kid on Syracuse
he's
too,
more
right?
Like a Serge Ibaka.
Enes? No, you don't want Enes.
No. I mean, maybe if they get like the number 8 pick or 9 pick or 10 pick or something.
I'm telling you, the kid from that 7-footer from Kansas is legit.
Okay.
He moves.
Okay.
He's not like
7-footers number 1.
He's not like Thabit was. He's legit. The guy
Brian
moves.
Big Country Reeves.
Yeah, I worry about a top 5 7-footer. I think especially in today's NBA, it's just like, you know,
is that
just
what
like him
called Peter McDonough.
What about Julius Randle?
Julius Randle's on Syracuse.
Kentucky.
Yeah, he's great. I think you can't
the
go
lefty.
Wrong. I think you can't go wrong. I think you're going to be having
okay,
similar
so
results.
The first pick in the 2014 And why Wiggins?
Why Wiggins?
Excuse
because
me, I have a call from my mother.
Because he
Ma,
is
with the 2014
I'm doing the draft now, Ma.
With the first draft in the 2014 Mafia draft.
The Wiggins,
the Los Angeles Killers
well,
select.
Not Italian, you know, that's Italian. This is a little bit more, you know.
I don't
Jew,
even know what it
Jewish,
is.
You know,
well, I don't know what
New
it
York,
is.
New Jersey.
The LA Killers select
no,
Bobby
Lakers.
Johansson.
Mitchell Tannenbaum.
I don't know when this podcast turned. Maybe like the fourth minute, maybe. The fourth minute in, and we're
so,
like 40 minutes in now.
Hey, what if a guy like you say the name Russell Westbrook?
Yeah.
What if Russell Westbrook and Kevin Love become Lakers in the next
then
few
I'd be,
years?
That's better than anything. But why Wiggins, Luke? Because I think when you're talking about a freshman who's playing in college, I think you definitely are.
You look 20 and... You're nailing it.
I think Wiggins is the guy because when you look at a freshman, you look at how he was judged coming in, and you think about the type of game that we're playing right now
uh-huh.
in the NBA.
Yep.
And I think he's tall, he's long,
and even
he's going to be able to score, he's going to be able to play defense. He can
and
do
even
all
though
the
and even though he's been underwhelming in a sense,
yeah.
he still held himself pretty.
It's easy to be underwhelming in college basketball.
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook was
yeah.
underwhelming most.
But
of the
But you watch
time.
Him; he's got a great build. He's
athletic, in control.
You know,
yeah. I think him. What do you think, Andy?
Well, I kind of think back to Stern. Another thing that he bred was kind of the age of the superstar, how to take a team sport and just market only one guy. Just market the crap out of it. Let's make superstars out of the best player on every team. And that's how people will recognize that team. It's just based
it's been
on
bad
jersey.
For basketball.
Absolutely. I think so. So there is that side of it. But, you know, I mean, what are the Lakers' real chances of winning the lottery? If they finish, what, bottom five?
Yeah.
What is that?
They got a legit chance.
Like a 10% chance or something like that. I would go with a guy. I would personally go with Parker over
the Duke
Wiggins.
Man.
I'd personally go with Parker, but that's just me. He's a little bit bigger. He's more of a forward type of player. Wiggins seems like he's more of a guard type
Parker's
of player.
Parker's going to be a great second scorer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Right. I think all those guys are going to be like amazing
Wiggins
on a championship
Wiggins
team. They're going to be like a second scorer. Like
I
a
think
Pippen.
Wiggins might be a. I think he might be a go-to okay. guy.
This has been an interesting podcast. I just want to, say that if you're ever interested in finding out exactly what we're talking about as far as a Cal Poly game, go to it and check it out. And I also want to say that for those of you who have been, I'm also interested as Luke starts to eat his chips. It's a great pod. I would also say, you know, comment. comment below on this post. I'm interested to see what you guys have to say. Yeah, good or bad. Do you think that I'm like over-homering? Do you think that
under-homering?
You know, when you're talking about a local team, you know, how much are you if you're a local sports fan, how much are you responsible for supporting that team in a community that's a small community like this? I'm interested to hear what people have to say. Go ahead and post it. For Luke and Andy, I'm Owen, and we'll catch you next time.
Peace.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Fansmanship Podcast. For more podcasts and more in-depth sports discussion, go to fansmanship.com.
Well, I've been stuck on down in Trouble Town. It's a lonely place, it's true. Street lights so bright, they blind my vision. The people on the streets, they beat me up till I'm black and blue. You lift me up, don't bring me down. You give your love to everyone around. You send me on my way to Trouble Town. I can't find my way around Trouble Town. Signs out.